right. So today, we're starting in a new year, like we said, and I wanted to share with you some things, ideas that I've come across about receiving what God has for us in the new year. Okay? Even though we don't know exactly what is ahead as we prepare for the new year, here are some redemptive ways we can move forward and fulfill what God has for us. We enter the new year free of any spiritual baggage. That's a good point. The first thing is to let go of the baggage of the past. Release your grip on old hurts, wounds, and disappointments. They can bring with them the weights of bitterness, resentment, and unforgiveness. These are the things that your soul cannot afford to lug around into another year. The next thing is now to pick up the baggage of the future. God does not want you to be weighed down with cares, anxieties, and worries. That's me. And it does weigh you down. Live each day, moment by moment, in the sufficiency of His grace, and trust Him in all things for tomorrow's needs. With hands free to receive what God has for us, let's focus on our faith with these five things. First one, be available. Excuse me. Be available. Be a vessel for honor, sanctified, set apart for a special purpose, and useful to the Master, and prepared for every good work. 2 Timothy 2:21. And Saul said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he answered, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." And that's in Acts 9:5-6. Be a yielded vessel, available for everyday use, occasional use, or to be set aside for a special occasion. The potter who formed you knows best how to use you and when. Then we need to be dependent. Not that we are sufficiently qualified in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency and qualifications come from God. 2 Corinthians 3:5. Be assured that you are totally in need of Him to be who He has called you to be and to do what He has asked you to do. Lean into His adequacy, His life, and strength with 100% of your heart. And that's what thriving branches do when they're in the vine. Third, be faithful. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Your faith in the new year will be rewarded by Him. Seek His approval. Live under His smile and stay with it. Choose obedience over sacrifice. He is using you in more ways than you know. 4, be grateful. Peace, peace to him who is far away, both Jew and Gentile, and to him who is near, says the Lord. And I will heal him, making his lips blossom anew with thankful praise. Isaiah 57:19. Live in the atmosphere of thankfulness. And we've talked a lot in this group about thankfulness. So live in the atmosphere of thankfulness. It's one of the healthiest ways to live. 5, be confident. The Lord knows those who are His, but God's truth stands firm like a foundation stone with this inscription: the Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord stand apart from wickedness and withdraw from wrongdoing. 2 Timothy 2:19. The Lord knows your name, but now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and who formed you, O Israel, Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. Isaiah 43:1. You are no stranger to the Lord. God knows every detail of your life and every need that you face. Daily needs. You have his undivided attention. That's an awesome statement. You have his undivided attention. He understands where you're coming from. The Lord knows your heart. The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. 2 Chronicles 16:9. And he knows where you're coming from. He knows your intentions and motivations. He knows your deepest desires and quietest prayers. Peace, peace to him who is far away, both Jew and Gentile, and to him who is near, says the Lord. And I will heal him, making his lips blossom anew with thankful praise. Isaiah 57:19. The Lord knows your location. You know what I am going to say before I even say it, Lord. You go before me and you follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. Psalm 139:4-7. God's angels know where to find you. There is no prayer mail being rejected by heaven's post office because your present address is unknown and the answers are undeliverable. God looks over you. He will never forsake you or forget you. The Lord knows your calling. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, Romans 1:1. You are God's appointed servant. He knows how he has gifted and equipped you. He knows all he will do for you, both now and in the future. This year, the next year, and the year after that, until he takes us home. He didn't make a mistake regarding his gifting and his call on your life. And he will never confuse you with someone else. Study and learn from these Bible verses about God's plan. Enter the new year with God and stay under the rest and strength of his yoke. He has chosen the field where he wants you to work. So to receive what God has for us in this new year, we need to be first, available, look for his guidance. Second, be dependent, knowing that our sufficiency comes from God. Third, be faithful, choose obedience over sacrifice. Fourth, be grateful, always giving praise and thanksgiving. Fifth, be confident. The Lord knows who you are. The Lord knows your name. You are no stranger to the Lord. The Lord knows your heart and your thoughts and your prayers. The Lord understands where you're coming from. The Lord knows your location, even if you're evacuated. The Lord knows your calling, and he knows how he has gifted you and equipped you. So I hope you can take these things, ladies, and apply them to this year and those scriptures and those ideas, and that you will truly seek God's will in everything. Now I'm going to switch gears here for just a minute and tell you something that happened last year with me, and it was a fun thing. You get the Grace email, Grace Church email, and it tells you the different things that are going to be going on. And then I think it was in the bulletin that there was this Grace Media site that you could go to. Some of you are probably on the media site. And this was back in probably June. And so I was online and I was looking at the Grace and I clicked on a few things. And then I thought, you know, I'm going to look up that media site. And so I looked it up and I joined it. And then I saw over to the side, said Abner Chow. Well, you know, Abner Chow is our pastor at Sojourners, one of our pastors. And we just love his teaching. And we're just, you know, gleaning so much from him. And so I thought, well, I'll click on and see what Abner has to say. Well, little did I know it was a video. It wasn't an audio, because most of the messages are audio. And it was a video. And Abner was facing me from the screen. And he was just sitting in a chair. He wasn't behind a pulpit. He had on a coat. I think he had on a tie. And I'm sure he had on his jeans, but it was from here up. And because that's Abner. And so I clicked on it, and I believe it was Genesis he was teaching on. And it was just awesome because he's just talking to me, you know. And it's like I couldn't say anything back, but it was like he was just looking at me and talking to me. And so I listened to his message, and he's preaching it through Genesis. And it had been about 10 minutes, and then it stopped. And I thought, and so I clicked again, and then another segment came up. He continued. He just continued. And so anyway, it was in like three different sections, but it wasn't titled or anything. It just stopped and started. So anyway, I listened to the whole thing. And it just amazed me because he was just sitting there casually talking and teaching. And I was just so blessed by it. And I talked to told my husband about it and everything. So then we had this thing where we do Sundays in July. Is that what it's called? Sundays in July, where they have the seminars around the campus. And you can go to church and then go to one of the seminars of the different pastors and what they teach versus going to your fellowship group. Kind of gives the fellowship group a little break. And then we can go and hear different topics. Well, Abner was teaching on something. I can't remember what it was. And he was in the family center. And so, of course, my husband and I were going to go hear him. So I'm in the family center, and people are coming in. And then I see Abner come in with his little briefcase. And so I went over to him, and I greeted him before he got up on the stage. And he said, I said, you know, Abner, I have a question for you. And he says, what, Linda, what? You know, and I said, because he's always available and approachable. And I said, you know, I was watching this thing on our Grace Media app where you're teaching, I think it was Genesis and a while back. And he said, oh, yeah, you know, Abner. And I said, I have a question. Do you use a teleprompter? And he looked at me so funny, and he smiled, and I said, he shook his head, no. I said, no. And I said, well, do you have, like, notes off to the side that you kind of look at? And he says, no. And he's got this big grin. And I said, well, how in the world do you do that? I said, you just preached right through that and never missed a beat. And he goes, Linda, it's God's grace. He was very humble when he said it, but those words, it's God's grace. So today, I want to share a little bit about God's grace. Suppose you owned a flashlight that was able to shine a light completely around you and send out a beam for a distance of about 100 feet. Well, that would be nice if you're in the dark. Now suppose you had a super flashlight that was able to shine a beam completely around you that could reach to the end of the universe. Wow. We don't even know where that is, the end of the universe. It just keeps going. God's grace is like a super beam of light. It radiates from his presence and arrives unbroken from his throne to the place where you are. You stand today in your God-appointed place, completely surrounded by his grace. Whatever direction you are facing and wherever you are moving, his grace is there. Grace for the journey, grace for the call, grace for the work, grace to endure, grace to be faithful, grace for the highlands and for the valleys, grace for the calm and for the storm, grace for the moment and for the long haul. Grace above you, grace beside you, grace behind you, grace before you, grace upon you, grace within you. Surpassing grace, sufficient grace, abounding grace, grace upon grace. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forever. Psalm 125:2. Is there not more for you than grace? In grace, there is all. God is the God of all grace. 1 Peter 5:10. Grace is in Jesus Christ, Philemon 1:25. The Holy Spirit is grace, of grace, Hebrews 10:29. Grace does not exist apart from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Those who turn away from God also turn away from the grace of his favor and blessing. I'm going to repeat that. Those who turn away from God also turn away from the grace of his favor and blessing. How could we do that? As believers, we must guard against nullifying the grace of God, Galatians 2:21. How does this happen? We nullify his grace by attempting to work for the things that God has freely given us in Christ through his death and resurrection. In the words of a well-known pastor, author Adrian Rogers, we need to stop trying and start trusting. To all who believe, grace abounds. And we don't want to turn away from that. What would we do without it? His grace is the grace of love, the grace of mercy, of goodness, of redemption, of righteousness, and the grace of justification. How did his grace come to you? Not by succeeding, but by believing and partaking. Not by bargaining or reasoning, but by drinking from the well of salvation. If you were deserving of his grace, it would not be grace. His grace is freely given. It is not a wage. His grace is given to the humble, to those who are small enough to seek his greatness, poor enough to seek his riches, empty enough to seek his fullness, and weak enough to see his strength. It is his grace that shapes you, establishes you, equips you, and gifts you. God's grace is marvelous. It is complete, and it is endless flow of his favor on you. Grace to grow in, glory in, and abound in. It is the grace of prayer, the grace of worship, the grace of a holy life. It is the grace of peace, the grace of comfort, and the grace of hope for your future. So those three words, when Abner said, Linda, it's God's grace, says so much. It says so much. We have the whole package when we have Jesus Christ as our Savior. Grace abounds over and over in all the areas of our life. So, ladies, those three little words that Abner said to me are so full. And I can totally understand now how he can stand in front of people, because he has all that in him, all that I've just read to you, because he has all that, and at least we have that. We have that when we have Jesus Christ as our Savior. But do we walk away from that sometimes? Yeah, we do. But his grace is there for us to just go right back. His forgiveness is there. His strength is there. He meets our needs. And he will even chasten us back to him like we spank a little child. And so when we have Jesus, we have all of that grace. And when we get in times where we worry or we fret, and we do we count our blessings? The blessing of grace, that God knows us, that he enables us, that he directs us, that he loves us. These are the things that we need to be thinking on starting our new year. And I pray that they have touched your heart like they have mine. Even though it was a rough start with the fires and all, we have a fresh start, and that we can just really, really pour ourselves and our heart into the Lord and telling others and praying for others and ministering and sharing our gifts. And those are things that we need to contemplate on how we're going to be doing that this year, you know. And so I pray that these have been helpful for you. So let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, marvelous, wonderful grace that you have given us. We thank you. How could we ever thank you enough? When we have such tough times around us, and yet we can seek your face, call on your name, and know that grace is there. Lord, and if anyone is here today struggling in that area, perhaps they've turned their back on the grace that you give us because they've strayed away from you. I pray that you will reach into their heart and help them to make that right today. I ask you to bless our time of fellowship, and thank you again and praise you. In your name, amen.